It's all set. Go ahead, Lynn.
Okay, so I will call the meeting to order at 7:04 on Tuesday, September 15th. And I would like to do a roll call vote. Leslie, can you call the roll?
Sure. Lynn Fredrickson?
Here.
Jim Iovino?
Here.
Steve Miller?
I am here.
Heidi Becker?
I'm here.
Lynn Sadowski?
Here.
Elio Floriano?
Here.
Art Hausman?
Here.
And myself, Leslie Carney, and Jennifer Coppola?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any changes to the agenda?
There are no changes to tonight's agenda.
Okay, thank you. That was Art, right?
Correct.
Okay. And will our secretary please read the first item under other?
Yeah, as soon as I could find it, friends. I opened up Lynn's emails, and I apologize. I'm just running late today, and I need to find the agenda.
It'll be just the oldest one. Agenda.
There Sorry. We are.
Just for the record, I'll do some introductory comments to give you time. Jennifer Coppola, counsel to the board. This meeting is of the Blight Prevention Appeals Board, is being held remotely via Zoom video conference and conference call. The agenda and the notice of meeting, which were published on the town's website. The notice of meeting was also published in the North Haven Courier, contained the details regarding the remote meeting, including the video conference link, as well as the conference call dial-in. The meeting materials for tonight were posted online. Each of the boards and commissions in the town of North Haven have their own page. It was posted to the 2020 page for the Blight Prevention Appeals Board. So all the meeting materials, again, for all the properties that are before the board tonight, as well as the minutes that they will be voting on, have been published on the town's website. Steve, did that give you enough time?
Yes, it did. I'm ready to roll. So under other, number one, to consider and act upon a recommendation of the blight prevention officer to issue a citation to the property owner or owners of 60 Quinnipiac Avenue, North Haven.
Okay. Is there someone here who would like to speak to this matter?
Art?
This is Art. I'll read what's on our agenda here. On June 2nd, 2020.
Okay, you need to get sworn in, Art.
That's correct.
Jennifer, do you want to swear him in?
Art, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Art.
Okay, on June 2nd, 2020, a complaint was received against the property at 60 Quinnipiac Avenue. An investigation was conducted and a notice of violation issued to the property owners, Ajax 2018-B Rio Corporation, on June 15, 2020, for the following blight conditions which evidenced the violation, including there is missing, broken, or boarded up windows on the structure. There is missing, broken, or boarded up doors on the structures. There is damage or missing siding on the structures. There is a damaged roof on the structures. There is excessive amounts of garbage and trash on the property. There are detached and or hanging gutters on the structures. The gutters on the structures are in need of cleaning. There is unsightly mold or vegetation on the structures. There is unsightly outside storage, including old furniture, boxes, papers, and junk piles by the rear door to the structures. There is more than one unregistered or inoperative motor vehicles and or visibly inoperated boats parked, kept, or stored on the property. There is overgrown brush, overgrown grass, and or weeds of at least 1 foot in height along the front and rear side yards of the property, and overall the property is unsightly, unsafe, and unsanitary, and a nuisance to the general public. There has been no contact or communications from the property owners, despite repeated attempts by the Blight Prevention Office. The property has been placed for sale, and again, there has been no communications from the property owners and no return calls from the real estate agent, despite repeated attempts by the Blight Prevention Officer to reach a responsible party for the property's maintenance. Notice of tonight's meeting was sent to the property owners on September 10th, 2020. The Blight Prevention Officer slash Desmond Lee last photographed the properties on September 10th, 2020. These photographs were included in your packet, your member e-packets, period. The following conditions, which evidence the following conditions include. There is missing, broken, or boarded up windows on the structure. There is missing, broken, or boarded up doors on the structure. There is damaged and or missing siding on the structure. There is a damaged roof on the structure. There is excessive amounts of garbage and trash in the property. There are detached and or hanging gutters on the structure. The gutters on the structure are in need of cleaning. There is unsightly mold or vegetation on the structures. There is unsightly outside storage, including old furniture, boxes, papers, and junk piled by the rear door structure. Overall, the property is unsightly, unsafe, and unsanitary, and a nuisance to the general public. Given the progress has stalled at the property, there has been no communications from the property owners to notice a violation issue, and that most blight conditions still remain resolved under the June 15, 2020 notice of violation. Staff recommends that the board find the blight conditions exist at the property, which are in violation of the blight prevention ordinance, and vote to issue a notice of citation.
Okay, thank you, Art. According to the photographs, certainly a blighted condition exists.
So just for the record, just really quick, because I'm noticing that no one's saying their name. It's really important that you say your name before you speak, just for the recording. Okay.
Okay.
Because we, and again, Jennifer Coppola for the record. Thank you, Lynn. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. This is Lynn Fred for the record. And typically in cases like this, when someone's, you know, not responding, not working with us, we do have a tendency to, you know, explore the possibility of, you know, issuing the citation. I'm not hearing from anybody that there's a contract on this home that is for sale. So I don't think a citation is necessarily going to destroy anybody's contract, because I don't think the contract exists. But my colleagues on the board, chime in, please.
Well, Jim Iovino speaking. That the property, it appears that it's for sale. It also appears that it's vacant. Do we know who the property owners are?
Let me, Steve Miller. Just want to add that the contract, it shows that the property is under contract for sale.
Yeah.
So just for the record, I mean, we could find out easily enough who's, you know, who's behind that, I think. So if you want me to do that, I'd be happy to.
What's the protocol for that, Jennifer?
I think it's fine if it's we have a closing that's coming up in the immediate future. I mean, it's always been my recommendation to the board. And again, Jennifer Coppola, see, I'm not following my own rules. Jennifer Coppola, for the record, counsel to the board. Typically when we know that there's a closing in the offing, you don't want to burden the property with an enforcement action that may hinder the property certainly from passing, because, you know, it's always the hope that if a transfer of title takes place, that the new owner will remedy the blight. We always try to be hopeful about that, right? And we've found that is typically true. I think it's fine. If that's something within Commissioner, I can't call you commissioner, board member Miller's knowledge that, you know, there is a contract on it, then I would suggest that perhaps this matter be continued until next month.
Okay. Like I said, I don't have any desire to throw a monkey wrench into anybody's real estate contract. So, you know, I would agree with Jennifer, and I will make a motion that we continue the matter of 60 Quinnipiac Avenue to next month's meeting, being October, for consideration of whether or not a citation should issue at that time.
Steve Miller, I will second that. Open up discussion that I do know the agent who has listed the property. Do you want me to do a little digging? I mean, I'd be happy to, like I said. If you want.
Or I think perhaps it's just appropriate that you pass that information along to staff, and staff call the agent to inquire whether or not there is a closing date, just so that we have that information for the next meeting.
Yeah,
okay. Let me interrupt for a second.
Yeah, because Art called and Nate said, Art,
I thought that was the case, but go ahead, Art.
Yeah, I called them twice on September 9th and September 10th. I called the agent both times, left a message to call back, but I never received a call. So I made some attempts, but we can continue to do that. That's no problem.
There may be a reluctance to share the closing date. That is possible, I suppose.
Well, why? Oh, this is Heidi. Why don't we just get the property owner? Sorry.
Well, that's probably less likely to track down the property owner than is to get to the agent through, you know, get to the property owner through the agent. They have direct contact with them.
Yeah, Heidi, we tried. They're out of Beaverton, Oregon.
Oh,
they don't call you back. They don't. We couldn't get anywhere with either one. Lynn Sadowski, for the record.
Thank you,
Steve, and Steve Miller, for the record. I just, Jennifer, sent you the contact information. Maybe as counsel, they will get back to you. So try that.
Yes, I will undertake that again. Jennifer Coppola, for the record, I will reach out to the agent and explain the situation in some detail and see if we can garner some additional information about how this is advancing. Okay.
And Steve Miller, may I add for the record that if they're not being cooperative, we should treat them like everybody else is not being cooperative and issue a citation.
I agree.
So I guess my question then is, should we issue the citation? And again, they have a couple of weeks before we actually get it done. Maybe with that'll light a fire under them.
So well, that's a possibility.
I do leave that to you. I mean, there have been instances in the past where, and again, Jennifer Coppola, for the record, where you have rescinded you know, your decision to issue a citation, that's a possibility. You know, if we learn that there is a closing in the offing, then you can rescind that. You can also, you can condition the issuance of the citation. If we learn that there's a closing scheduled in 30 days or something like that, you could direct us to hold back the issuance of it until a particular date. That's something else you could potentially do.
And again, Steve Miller, for the record, so just looking at the information that I have, you know, at hand is, it looks like it went under contract, then came back on the market, but it is still showing as a contingent, meaning it's either under show or deposit status. So I think what we probably should do at this point is put it up, you know, put it until the next meeting, and Jennifer, you could reach out to the agent and really find out what's going on. I think that would help.
All right, so there is a motion that has been made. Do I have a second?
I will second. Jim Iovino, for the record, I will second the motion.
Okay, motion is made by Fredrickson, seconded by Iovino. Leslie, please do a roll call vote. Oh, she's muted.
Oh.
Sorry about that. I forgot. Lynn Fredrickson?
Yes, aye.
Jim Iovino?
Aye.
Steve Miller?
Aye.
Heidi Becker?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, and Mr. Secretary, would you please read the next item on the agenda?
Yes, please, I will. Number two, on 227 Ridge Road, North Haven, the Blight Prevention Officer will provide a status update to the board.
Okay, and would someone like to speak to this?
I will.
Okay, hey, Art Hausman.
December 19, 2017, a complaint was received against the property at 2227 Ridge Road. An investigation was conducted and a notice of violation issued to the property owner, Ralph Notaro, on January 3rd, 2018, for the following blight conditions, which evidence the violation, including there is damage in or missing siding in the home or garage structures. There is excessive amounts of trash and debris in the side, rear, and front yards, and by the side of the garage. There is a damaged railing or fence on the property. There is unsightly outside storage, including dilapidated trash cans of dirt throughout the yard, wooden pallets, dilapidated miscellaneous windows, doors, and window door frames placed against the home, and the PVC pipe in the yard, and the property is unsightly, becoming a nuisance to the general public. Four extensions were granted to the property owner dated January 12th, March 9th, May 30th, July 31st, 2018. Between the August and December 2019 meetings, the property owner appeared at the board and continued the matter for a status update. The board also continued the matter during each of the 2020 meetings to tonight's meeting for a status update by the Blight Prevention Officer. Notice of tonight's meeting was sent to the property owner on September 10th, 2020. The Blight Prevention Officer designee last photographed the properties on September 10th, 2020. These photographs were included in your members' packet. Additional progress has been completed with regard to the removal of unsightly outside storage, including removal of debris, containers, building materials, metals, etc. Given that progress continues to be made at the property, albeit slow, but some blight conditions still remain to be resolved under the January 3rd, 2018 notice of violation. Staff recommends that the matter be continued towards October 20th, 2020 meeting for another status update. We note that the property owner and his son have been cooperative and appear to be committed to remedying the blight conditions.
All right, thanks, Art. Fredrickson here. Mr. Notaro has been largely working on this by himself and with help from his son. And this was a lot, okay? It was a real lot. So, given the fact that they are making steady progress and they continue to be in contact with us, I would like to make a motion that we continue this matter to the October 20th meeting for a status update.
Steve Miller, I will second that.
Okay, motion is made by Fredrickson, seconded by Miller. And Leslie, please do a roll call vote.
Lynn Fredrickson?
Aye.
Jim Iovino?
Aye.
Steve Miller?
Aye.
Heidi Becker?
Aye.
Thank you.
Excellent. And Mr. Secretary, please read the next item into the agenda.
Number three, to consider and act upon a recommendation of the Blight Prevention Officer to issue a citation to the property owner or owners of 390 Skiff Street, North Haven.
Okay, thank you. And would someone like to speak to us about this?
I will. On November 19th, 2019, a complaint was received against the property at 390 Skiff Street. An investigation was conducted and a notice of violation issued to the property owners, Valerie W. and Rodney L. Richardson, and survivors, November 22nd, 2019, for the following like condition, which evidence the violation is including. There is damaged and or missing siding on the home and the barn. They may need power washing and or painting. There's a mailbox that needs to be repaired or replaced. There is a damaged roof on the barn and home that may need to be need repairs. There is moss growing on the roof of the barn and home that needs to be removed. There is a damaged railing or fence which needs repairs. There is overgrown brush, overgrown grass, overgrown shrubs, and or weeds of at least 1 foot in height, which need to be cut and addressed. Property is covered in weeds, which need to be removed. And the property owner is unsightly, unsafe, unkempt, and a nuisance to the general public. 3 extensions were granted to the property owner dated December 20th, 2019, February 18th, and June 12th, 2020. Notice of tonight's meeting was sent to the property owner on September 10th, 2020. The Blight Prevention Officer designated last photographed the property on September 10th, 2020. These photographs were included in the amended packet. The following blight conditions which continue the evidence that the violation include. There is damage or missing siding on the home and barn. It may be power washing and painting. As a mailbox that needs to be repaired and replaced. There is a damaged roof in the barn and the home that they need repairs. There is moss growing on the roof of the barn home and home that needs to be removed. There is a damaged railing or fence which needs repairs. There is overgrown brush, overgrown grass, overgrown shrubs and or weeds of at least 1 foot in height which need to be cut and addressed. The property is covered in leaves which need to be removed. And the property is unsightly, unsafe, unkempt, and a nuisance to the general public. Given that progress has stalled at the property, there has been no communication from the property owners since June 2020, and that most blight conditions still remain to be resolved under the November 22nd, 2019 notice of violation. Staff recommends that the board find that blight conditions exist at the property, which are in violation of the blight prevention order, and vote to issue a notice of citation. The Blight Prevention Officer designee was able to speak to the property owner on September 14th, who advised him that they received the notice of meeting and would be at tonight's call, to discuss his concerns with the board.
Okay, and I do see Mr. Richardson is present on the call, although at the moment he appears to be muted.
This is Jennifer Coppola. Okay, he is unmuted now.
Thank you.
Mr. Richardson.
Yes.
Okay, this has not been noticed as a public hearing, but typically what we have been doing when a property owner requests to be present at the meeting, which is their right, we have been allowing brief comments. If you would care to make a couple of brief comments, that is fine. We welcome hearing from you, but you will need to get sworn in first.
That's fine.
Okay.
Mr. Richardson, it's Jennifer Coppola, counsel to the board. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. And Mr. Richardson, please address the board.
First of all, thank you for allowing me to speak. I appreciate the fact that you're taking the time to do this, although I regret imposing upon you that this has even occurred. I would like to suggest that I have been making intermittent progress on this, but there have been some setbacks. And the origins of this are, how should I put it? Of a personal nature, in so much as we've been living in North Haven since 2004, and we have not had any issues in regards to blight problems with the house until the complaint that was made in November of 2019, which was approximately a year after my wife left the residence. We are at this point separated, although not legally separated, but we have been living apart now for almost 2 years. And I admit that I did not do particularly well emotionally in the wake of her departure, and I neglected the property for basically a year. I have since receiving the notice of blight, tried to make some improvements, and it's been sort of, how should I put it, a couple steps forward, one step back, that sort of thing. I don't have a lot of economic resources that would permit me to hire somebody to look after the property on my behalf. And I have a job at a nonprofit radio station in which I am the operations manager. And because of the COVID situation, many of my colleagues who do their own radio shows are unable to come and do their shows in person. And it's fallen to me to receive their audio files and put them on the air. And this has dramatically increased my workload to the point where I'm working somewhere between 50 and 60 hours a week. When I received the stimulus check from the federal government, I invested in a lawnmower, which I have learned how to use, and I have mowed the lawn a number of times. We have trimmed back the weeds, and I think we've been making some progress in terms of the overall yard situation. However, if you look at the photographs from September 9th, you will see that there is a tree branch leaning on my house. It's the second branch that fell off of that tree this summer. That tree branch has been removed. It took them 2 weeks after I asked them to take them out. I had Sandweiss do that, and so they've taken that branch off. So that's no longer on the house. The house roof was damaged at where the tree struck it, and we've reported that to our insurance company, and they are going to issue us a check so we can get that part of the roof repaired. I have another tree that is blocking the back part of the lot, which is a wooded area where I mulch leaves and the lawn clippings. And I have, on my own, been using a chainsaw to remove that, and I'm about a quarter of the way through it. It takes quite a while, but I'm doing the best I can with the available hours I have where I'm not actually at my job. And I expect to hopefully get that cleared out fairly soon, because I would like to once again mow the lawn and take care of the issues with that. In the front of my house, I have a maple tree that is dying, and it is shedding branches. And that is some of what you are seeing in the photographs. And of course, it also has an abundant supply of leaves. And I had asked Sandweiss about providing me an estimate to have that tree taken down. And they have told me that it's going to cost me $2,500. But they've also pointed out to me that this is something where it may actually be the town's responsibility. And I was advised by Art Houseman to contact the tree warden to find out what the status is in terms of attending to that, because it's dangerous. It's shedding limbs. And I don't want anyone, myself or anyone else, to be affected by that tree. Likewise, the tree that shed the two branches this summer also has to be removed, and that is likely to cost me several thousand dollars as well. And so I have very limited resources. I don't have a lot of spare cash. I have a $500 deductible on my insurance policy, which paid to remove the tree limb that was on my house. And I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to be able to have the other trees removed. I understand that Sandweiss has approximately 400 jobs in front of me before they can get to me. We have been trimming the bushes, although apparently that is not sufficient, although that was kind of a bit of a surprise to me. I admit that I hadn't really been responding to the communications I've been getting from the town, simply because they seem to be just extensions. The most recent of these was a letter that came in, I guess it was June, that basically said because of the progress I was making, that extension to the end of August was reasonable. And when I saw the letter that came most recently with the notice about this meeting, I was sort of surprised, because I sort of thought that perhaps an extension would be provided yet again, because I had been doing a pretty decent job about keeping the lawn short. Cleaning the front yard has been kind of problematic, but it is in some respects cleaner than it was. But in the wake of the recent storms, more limbs have fallen. I still have to get out there and clean them out, but my priority is to basically clear out the tree in the back lot so I can get access to the wooded area where I can put the leaves. And as far as the branches are concerned, my understanding is the town is actually doing storm damage pickup. And so I have been pulling the limbs to the curb so that they can be removed. As I did the first time we had a limb come down back in, I guess it was August with the, in the wake of storm Isaias. Regarding the mailbox, it's been like that for a long time. I was sort of surprised that this was a concern. The mailbox has never left the post, but the post is definitely not upright. It's at an angle. I guess it's probably more at an angle than is reasonable, which, okay, I mean, that's something that I will not argue against. The barn in the back, the initial photographs that were taken of it showed a lot more green on the roof than actually seems to exist. So I'm not sure that that was an accurate representation or if there is some sort of seasonal thing going on there. There is weathering on the paint, but I don't know that it should be considered as blighted. There may be a difference of aesthetics here that perhaps the board needs to educate me about, but I have found that the barn has been, for me, a delightful thing to photograph as I use those photographs in the production of art that I have displayed at Citywide Open Studios last year. And my wife tells me that my neighbor directly adjacent to our property has basically said to her that she hopes we never paint the barn because she finds it lovely to look at. She appreciates the rustic nature of it. I don't think the roofs are on the house is damaged, and I am not sure that there's any visible damage on the roof of the barn from the street side. So I think if you're talking about unsightly and a nuisance to the public, it would be the things that you could see from the street, not things that you could go to the back of my property and then take a look and see what's what. Because, you know, that wasn't when I was talking to Art originally, he gave me the impression that what was really of a concern was what was visible to the public. And those were the things that needed to be addressed.
Excuse me, Mr. Richardson, have you read the ordinance?
That is something I haven't done. I was basically going by what Art was telling me, and I may have misunderstood him. And maybe I need to read the details of the ordinance so that I can be more informed about this.
Probably be very enlightening for you. It's a brief ordinance. It's about 12 pages long, and it'll probably take you between 10 and 15 minutes to read it in its entirety.
All right. Okay.
And, you know, what you're talking about and what we're talking about with our concerns about your property do not encompass the entire ordinance, okay? There's a lot in this ordinance that's covered that does not pertain to your property.
Right.
So in terms of aesthetics, we have had the question of aesthetics come up previously, multiple times, actually.
Okay.
And, you know, what my philosophy is that we all have our own taste, but let's look at the details of the ordinance itself. So, In your notice of violation, there would have been a reference to a certain portion of the ordinance. The ordinance is readily available to anybody who would like to see it. It's on the town's website, and there is a section on the website called Ordinances, and it's very clearly marked. The ordinance pertains to blight, and like I said, it's only about 12 pages long. So I would encourage you to peruse that.
Right, I will do that.
Now, I am going to ask you a question, okay?
Yes.
Now, because this is your first dealing with the board, I know I haven't met you yet, but what we try to do is work with people. Our goal here is not necessarily to issue you a citation. Our goal here is to get rid of the blight. So sometimes in order to get rid of the blight, we have to issue the citation. And as Mr. Miller indicated previously, that there is a time lapse that happens in between the date that we actually vote to issue the citation and the citation actually issuing. If the blight is remedied before the citation actually issues, we really can't issue it because we can't issue a blight citation to a property that's no longer blighted, okay?
Right.
That's pretty simple. So, you know, what I'm going to ask you is what can we, as a board, do to help you remedy this situation?
Give me more time. That would be one thing, because I have to do most of this work myself, although my wife and I have been discussing what to do about cleaning the siding of the house, because I don't think there's actually any siding on the house missing, although I will once again take a look, because that's not sounding... you know, I don't think there's any part of the house that's actually not there. But I do admit that there's definitely the growth of moss. It's a very damp area and it's difficult.
So much time would you think would be appropriate?
Well, you know, it's tough to say. I'm not trying to be difficult about this. I'm just trying to be realistic because I don't want to promise that I can take care of it in a really brief period of time and then fall short of it. I'd like to be realistic about it, but I do have this, you know, ongoing problem of I'm working more than what would be a normal full-time job. And my work hours are exceedingly difficult at times. And, you know, this past week, for example, I had one day where I was working, I was at my job for 15 hours and another day, 2 days later, where I was here for 14. And in some cases, you know, it's an excessive thing. And yet I'm not in a position where I can hire somebody else to come in and do things. Although my wife did say that she expects to get an inheritance from her late aunt that would allow us to hire, somebody to power wash the house. Although my concern now is with the roof damage that was recently incurred by the tree, that it might make more sense to get the roof fixed before somebody starts spraying a lot of water in the general direction of the house.
All right, without getting into specific details like that, which is not the role of this board, okay?
Yes, I understand.
My colleague, Mr. Miller, appeared to have something to say, so I want to invite Steve to say what he would like to say.
Yeah, sure. Steve Miller for the record. So, Mr. Richardson, you know, some of these things, obviously, it's our desire to help you the best we can get through the situation.
Yes.
And when you're talking about moss, you know, growing, I've used a product called Wet and Forget. You could buy it at Home Depot. It's like $20 for the concentrate, and it does a great job. You spray it on the moss and go away, you know, and I think that's a reasonable solution, very inexpensive solution.
Yeah, it is. I guess I just have to figure out how I can overcome my fear of heights if I have to get on a ladder to apply this, because I'm 60 years old, which I realize is probably in the ballpark of many of the people at this meeting. But I'm obviously concerned about, you know, being in a situation where I could sustain an injury that would make it difficult to work. So I have to consult with my wife to see what resources she'll put into this because, you know, it's a little complicated by the fact that we are, you know, we're friends, but we're estranged.
I understand.
Yeah. And so I appreciate that. And, you know, the easiest thing for me to do in the near term is just basically take care of the lawn and to work on these other things is a kind of a longer term issue. Certainly I could repaint the porch. Although, again, that becomes an issue of time, because I think the last time we had it done, we had to have the thing power washed. And then it took the fellow that we hired back, probably now it's probably been about 10 years, it took him weeks to take care of it. And my concern is now that we're heading into the colder weather, whether or not it's actually practical to start trying to paint that area.
All right, Mr. Richardson. Okay, here's the thing.
If
unfortunately nobody has a crystal ball. You know, I wish we did. That would make things a lot easier.
It would.
So, you know, the thing is that if we were to bring you back here in November,
yes,
we can have you also work very closely with Mr. Hausman, and some people have found that an itemized list is very, very helpful. Other
yes.
people don't want an itemized list. So if you would be willing to reach out to Mr. Hausman or provide some information to him via email where he can reach you relatively easily during his work week. I know he is a part-time employee of the town, so his hours are a little bit limited, but you know, best to be flexible.
Well, we have one another's cell phones at this point. We have
okay.
each other's numbers. So
all right, that's
you know.
Excellent. So you can be in touch.
Yes.
So what I would like to do is make a motion that we bring the matter of 390 Skiff Street back to the November meeting for consideration at that time of whether or not a citation should issue. I have motioned it. Frederickson motioned. Can I get a second?
Aye. Heidi.
Heidi. Heidi yep. has seconded. Is there any further discussion? Okay, Leslie, please do a roll call vote.
Lynn Fredrickson?
Aye.
Jim Iovino?
Aye.
Steve Miller?
Aye.
Heidi Decker?
Oh, aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The motion has been made, seconded, and motion carries. Mr. Richardson, we can start here, and we'll see how you do in November.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Good luck to you. I know you've got a lot on your plate, so
I appreciate you.
A lot of storm debris, if you will, and I'm still cleaning up my backyard.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Thank you very much for your understanding and compassion. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a nice rest of the evening.
You too.
Okay, and Mr. Secretary, would you please read the number four item?
Number four, to consider and act upon a recommendation of the Blight Prevention Officer to issue a citation to the property owner or owners of 356 Washington Avenue, North Haven.
Okay, thank you. Who would like to speak to this?
Jim Iovino, for the record. This is the now vacant Party City property. It's just a vacant building. I'm just curious as to what the blight issue is. It's a vacant building. There's no trash. There's no unsightliness. It's just unfortunate.
Art.
So
I'll read you my findings and I can discuss that
okay.
in detail. On July 1st, 2020, a complaint was received against the property at 356 Washington Avenue. An investigation was conducted with a notice of violation issued to the property owners, NHPP, LLC, Vapal Gopani and Sanjita Gopani, on July 15, 2020 for the following blight conditions, which evidenced the violation including. There was excessive amounts of garbage or trash on the property around and behind the structure. There was overgrown brush, overgrown grass, and weeds at least 1 foot in height along the perimeter. And the property was unsightly, unkempt, and a nuisance to the general public. There has been no communication from the property owners since the notice of violation issued on July 15, 2020. Notice of site meeting was sent to the property owner on September 10th, 2020. The Blight Prevention Officer designee last photographed the properties on September 10th, 2020. These photographs were included in the members' packet. The following blight conditions continue at the property, which evidence the violation including. There was excessive amounts of garbage or trash in the property around behind the structure. The property is unsightly, unkempt, and a nuisance to the general public. Due to the lack of progress made since the July 15, 2020 notice of violation issued and the lack of communication received from the property owners, staff recommends that the board find that blight conditions exist at the property which are in violation of the Blight Prevention Ordinance and vote to issue a notice of citation. To address Mr. Iovino where the items are, they are behind the building. In the most recent photograph I took, I believe it was yesterday, they include, I think, like an old small chest of drawers, a toilet, some other miscellaneous office furniture, and then some a big white piece of plastic leaning against the side of the building, which is on the north side. So those are the items that I saw. If you drive around the building, you'll probably see them unless they've been removed in the last 24 hours.
Okay. To Jim Iovino's point, these commercial properties are they're a real challenge because a lot of times, you know, they're big and a lot of times they're in very busy parts of town. So there's a lot of traffic by them and a lot of people see them. So, you know, I mean, I drove by there the other day didn't go around the back. You know, I was in a bit of a hurry, so I just scooted by on Washington Avenue, and that was it. And I went about my business. But I thought, you know, like Jim Iovino was saying, it is a shame. It's unsightly to have a vacant storefront. You know, most of the time, it is just unsightly. In a quandary over, you know, what the best thing is to do in terms of this. And, you know, there's always some question about, you know, is some sort of a citation going to hinder their ability to rent the property, to sell the property. So I don't remember what the sign out front said. I remember there's a sign out front, but I don't know if it's for lease or if it's for sale. Does anybody know?
No, there is a sign. I think it's for either for lease or sale.
Yeah.
Steve Miller might know.
Yeah, Steve Miller, for the record, it says, last I looked at it, it was available. So that could mean any number of things. It if they're going to lease the property, I don't suspect a blight, you know, citation is going to affect the leasing of the property. And if they're selling the property, it just may, you know, get somebody to clean it up prior to purchase if it's on the land record. So I'll leave that to Jennifer to kind of advise us on it.
Look, I mean, Jennifer Coppola, for the record, I mean, typically, you know, I had sort of a strange one recently where it was actually the buyer's counsel being more concerned about getting the because there was a notice of lien that I placed on a property. Residential. It was a residential property in that circumstance. You know, I mean, who is focused on it? There's no real rhyme or reason to it. I mean, you know, sometimes it's an issue of you know, the seller basically being told by the potential buyer, you got to take care of this. And, you know, it really comes down to who you're dealing with, I find. You know, there are some financial institutions that, you know, they just don't care. They're aware, you know, of the fact that there's an outstanding, you know, citation balance, blight fine balance, and you know, and right now things are that much more unpredictable. I'll just say that.
If I could make a comment too, the way I was informed about this was actually from the volunteer fire department, which is right next door. They're an adjacent neighbor. And they first commented about that there was trash, actually like a plastic bag that was broken apart at the rear of the building. That had been cleaned up. Where these other items are coming from, I don't know. But it may not be visible from the street, but it is visible from the neighbor. So I think that might have something to do with their interest.
Lynn, can I add something too?
Sure.
So Lynn Sadowski, for the record. I think one of the issues we have as staff is that this owner is in Bergen, New Jersey. The only person that has done anything for the property is the real estate agent. They cut the grass because the fire department also questioned the sight line issue because there was grass in the way when people were leaving the firehouse. There has been absolutely no communication since the NOV issued. And on our end, you know, what do you do with that? You know, we really feel like we get to a point where you can only hold their hands so much. You can only send them a notice of meeting letter, an NOV so much. And, you know, we made it a point to confirm who the owners were and that they were out of state. But, you know, they obviously were smart enough to hire a realtor to move it along. But they're, you know, I'm surprised the realtor hasn't said to them, hey, you got a bunch of garbage. People are using your property for dumping, or it's something that we could get a pickup truck and take care of in about 15 minutes. If you remember, we chased a property on Washington Avenue that was a fruit and produce yes. building and it moved to Wallingford, they had the same problems. But those guys took it seriously. They were out of Westchester, New York. They put up fencing. They still listed it for rent or sale, but they were also becoming a dumping ground. But it's the owner who it has to step up and show us that, hey, we take this seriously. But this particular owner has, I mean, just give us a call. Same thing with 60 Quinnipiac, you know, that Ajax Rio B Corporation yeah. out of Beaverton, Oregon. It would be nice if just somebody just contacted us, but we don't have any contact at all.
Okay. Okay. My colleagues on the board, what are your thoughts?
Lynn, this is Heidi, Lynn Sadowski. We don't have any phone number to reach this, you know, company that owns it, or we have to go directly to the realtor?
We've been going directly to the realtor because we do not have any information on the Gopanis in Bergen, New Jersey.
Okay.
Steve Miller, for the record, you know what I've learned in my years is we can't want it more than them. So I think we should consider issuing a citation.
I tend to agree with that. You're right. This can't be more important to us than it is to them.
I'll make the motion to issue a citation.
And I'll second the motion. So the motion has been made by Miller, seconded by Fredrickson. Leslie, please call a roll call vote.
Lynn Fredrickson?
Aye.
Jim Iovino?
Aye.
Steve Miller?
Aye.
Heidi Becker?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And Mr. Secretary, please read the next item on the agenda.
Item number 4 minutes, discussion and action on August 18th, 2020 meeting minutes.
All right, I have reviewed the minutes from last month's meeting and I did not find them to have any issues at all. Did anybody have an issue with any of the items on the minute?
Jim Iovino, no.
Steve Miller, no.
Heidi?
No.
Okay. I will make a motion that we accept the minutes of the August 18th, 2020 meeting as presented. Leslie, please. Oh, I need a second.
I will second. Jim Iovino.
Motion made by Fredrickson, seconded by Iovino. Leslie, please call a roll call vote.
Lynn Fredrickson.
Aye.
Jim Iovino.
Aye.
Steve Miller.
Aye.
Heidi Becker.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Secretary, please read the next item.
Number 5, potential amendments to blight prevention ordinance. Continued discussion on potential amendments to the blight prevention ordinance.
Okay. Jennifer, I guess you would like to speak to this?
Sure. So at this point, staff did meet last week. And again, Jennifer Coppola for the record, I'm counsel to the board. They did, and when I say staff, I mean Lynn Sadowski, Elio Floriano, Art Hausman, and also Leslie Corning. They did give me some thoughts on going forward in terms of potential amendments to the ordinance. We have not met in follow-up on that. That's why it was not in your packet, because they did give it to me on Wednesday. We will meet and we will discuss further with you sort of what our thoughts are on this point, because obviously we did receive some input from you at your last meeting. So we'll plan to keep this on the agenda for your October meeting. We'll have a further conversation. There are some things that we talked about, I think, that fall within more within your purview of the discussion on it, and more that are more internal matters. So, we'll probably be moving forward with, again, we have a draft of proposed changes, but we'll be looking at doing further amendments based upon their input as well. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I just have one comment, Jennifer, about the proposed changes. It has come up a couple of times in conversations, you know, among with the this month's Zoom meeting and last month's as well. And some of the concerns seem to stem from a financial standpoint. And my concern is we've issued a number of citations. So I think the cash flow would be, you know, moving right along. You know, my understanding is that the money from the citations drives to the general budget. So I don't know if there's a budget we can establish for the Blight Prevention Appeals Board and maybe take that into consideration, because I know there are costs associated with it. So, I mean, maybe it could pay for itself.
So in terms of the legal aspects of it, yes, it does need to go into the general fund. And that's statutorily based. You know, it's not something that we've had a lot of discussion about. I understand what you're saying. You know, there's a lot of aspects of it. You know, just procedurally, just changing it. And again, you know, this is an important thing to do. When you have an ordinance that has an administrative, and not all of them do, has an administrative and enforcement aspect, you know, it's a good idea to, you know, we're almost at 10 years here. It's a good idea to evaluate sort of, you know, what's working, what's not working. You know, I do blight enforcement for other towns. I said this to you last time. I think there's a lot that's good about our program. Remember, I'm the person who wrote the ordinance. and it was based upon, you know, I did a lot of research at that time, and I did something different than what the majority of other towns are doing with it. And obviously cities, it's a whole different ball game. You know, I mean, we can't compare North Haven and New Haven and the kinds of issues that, and really the, you know, the extent of enforcement that's needed in a large city. But, you know, I think this is a good process to do, especially with something of this nature, because you heard from an affected property owner tonight. I mean, we've all learned that the personal circumstances drive so much of what occurs on these properties. So, but we'll keep plugging away at it. But I understand your question, but that really is, that's the way, you know, that's the way things work. That type of collection does go into the general fund.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Does anybody have anything else? Hearing nothing, I will make a motion that we adjourn. Can I get?
I will second Jeremiah Avino for the record. I will second.
Okay. Thank you. Fredrickson motioned. Iovino seconded. And Leslie, please do a roll call vote.
Lynn Fredrickson.
Aye.
Jim Iovino.
Aye.
Steve Miller.
Aye.
Heidi Becker.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, we are adjourned. Thank you so much, everybody. I hope you all stay healthy.
You too.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.